You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Hello, welcome to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. In this episode, I'm speaking with Hinel Turner. She's the Vice President of Content and Consulting at the All In Company. Hi, Hinel. It's great to have you on Ideas and Leaders.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So today I wanted to speak with you about how to recruit, how to hire, and how to retain those great employees in our companies, in our organizations. But first of all, I wanted to ask you to tell us something about yourself and to introduce yourself. I know that you are the expert in this area, but I'm sure that you can tell your story. How did you get where you are right now?
Sure. So, you know, it's interesting. I didn't plan on working in HR, and I don't know that I knew right away that this was going to be the field for me, or that I would end up love working with business owners, or that my mind really works in an organized kind of business sense. I just never thought of that. So I started, you know, really with my career after college, working as an admin. So I've kind of done it all. So I was an admin assistant in college. I worked in retail. You know, I worked 4 or 5 jobs just because I wanted to get the exposure and to learn as much as I can, but I also wanted money. So I was like, well, I have to work. So I hustled, worked through college. And after college, my next step I knew was going to be law school, but I wanted a little bit of a break. So I worked as an admin assistant and I went to law school, and then I quickly discovered it wasn't for me. And so I said, okay, well, what am I going to do now? So I started taking courses at the University of California here in Irvine, and you can do an introduction course, so introduction to business, introduction to human resources, introduction to whatever. And I thought, okay, if I take introduction courses, then I'll get a better idea of what I like doing and the field, and then I can pursue that. So I ended up just loving the human resources field and all the different elements, like, you know, from recruitment to hiring to employee relations to labor relations. And I said, okay, this is it. And so then I started an internship. And then I went to, from there, I started, then after my internship was over, then I started as an HR assistant. And then I was promoted to kind of an HR manager role with an organization that, you know, this business owner was just a small business owner, but she had multiple companies. And so she had about 4 or 5 companies. And so I worked there for quite a while through like the early recession, like the 2008, around that time frame. And so we were large, we were about, you know, 80 or 90, and then brought us down to about 30 or 40, and then back up to about 50. And then after that, you know, I felt I had more to offer. And so I started working as a consultant. And so that's where I spent, you know, about 8 years, you know, working as a consultant for an HR consultant. And I consulted with about, you know, 200 plus businesses in all of their HR needs, and the industries and the businesses varied. So a lot of exposure. I learned so much in those years about businesses and working with owners and what their needs are. And then that brought me to my position here, where I, you know, where we specialize in recruitment, hiring, and retaining those great people. And so my career is kind of aligned right here with COVID and everything, because this seems to be the time where people are really struggling to find the right people.
Yes, indeed. Now this is this time when people are struggling to find people, but also people struggling to find companies that would fit their needs, their current needs, because our needs kind of changed and evolved through this pandemic situation. And we have a very interesting story. So you kind of grew into this HR and became an HR professional. In my case, I have never worked in HR, but I have I have finished the university in HR management, and this is what I learned at the university. So it worked a different way for me, and my life led me to a different career path. But I still love HR management, and I still remember it from my university years. All of those motivation, how to motivate people, how to talk to people, those psychology aspects. It is so interesting, and I think it's so fascinating.
It's funny you say that, because I remember one of my clients. So I had clients, and a lot of the times, yeah, it's 80% of the time, I worked with businesses that were ranging maybe under 50 employees. And so they had the business owner would oftentimes take care of some of the more traditional HR functions, and things would just escalate up to the business owner. But, you know, the business owner didn't know how to handle things or where to ask questions or whatnot. But sometimes I had a client who was also an HR professional. And so our conversations were much more, you know, bouncing ideas off each other. And we understood that most of the arena in the HR field is gray. And one of the offices I went to, right in front of her, the sign on her door says "nurse in session." So that's great. Yeah,
That's great. So, Hin, speaking about the current labor market, I know that as we already said, that many things changed, and in the last 2.5 years. So do you see any trends, any challenges, which something that changed, and maybe it is never going back for this market? And what trends do you see?
So I think one of the first, trends that I think everyone can agree on is, just like me, a lot of people had a COVID baby. And and so now you have people who want to work from home. So they either unexpectedly started working from home, and, they realize that they can make it work, because a lot of times when you work from home, you get to have more of a blended life. So you can take care of your kids and then come back and work on and go for a couple hours and finish your tasks, finish what you need to do, and then go back and take them for a walk. And so you have this opportunity to kind of have a blended life where you still get the work done. And I think a lot of people realized that, wow, I do work from a position where I can work from home, and I can still, through technology, I can still maintain a work environment and a work culture. And I have coworkers that I can reach out to and see and talk to. But I really like working from home, and it's saving people money. So I think one thing that employers have to address as the elephant in the room is, am I going to require people to come back into the office, and do I need to? And the challenge is, you don't have to allow people to work from home, but which one of your employees are going to realize that there are so many work from home opportunities now? So which people are going to just jump ship and find another opportunity that does allow from a work from home environment? And so if that number is great enough, that can be quite impactful for your business. And so now, a business owner can certainly just, stick to their guns and say, nope, nobody's working from home, everybody's coming back to the office. They might lose a lot of people. And that's a newer trend, I think, of course, as a result of COVID. And then another thing I've noticed is that people are realizing just how important a sense of community and community from their employer is, because, you've got that home life and then you have a work life. And so the work life is all about the people that you're interacting with, and people are no longer okay with going to work and working with people who are mean, who are just not a good environment, who don't communicate well, who just are not a pleasure to be around. They just realize that, oh, well, I don't really have to put up with it. You know, I can find something else. And so you've got to consider your like workplace culture and the workplace community that you're creating and that you're providing for your team. And I think those are two big changes just directly resulting from COVID.
Yes, I totally agree with this. I can see this change even among people that I know and my students, people that I work with, that when the company now requires to be in the office for 3 days, for example, or 4 days a week, and this you just have to be there, they prefer choosing a different company with more flexible hours. But even money is not so important, but I think that this work-life balance, they felt how important it is right now that they can be with their children, that they don't have to waste so much time for a commute. And I can see that it is so important for people. So what can companies do? Do you see, working with your clients, that companies are actually going to direction of more flexible hours and working from home?
Yeah, you know, I definitely see it's going to go back to the industry. So like certainly for some types of businesses, like any kind of retail, like medical offices, things like that, it's going to a work from home, you know, situation doesn't usually work. But in cases where communication and is done, you know, maybe on the phone, online, and things like that, and there's no direct face-to-face contact with customers, general office work, you know, a lot of businesses are at least having the conversation about, well, do I really need to have people in the office, and evaluating kind of the overall cost that comes with even renting a space. So like starting just with your, you know, a basic budget, right? How much does it cost to rent the retail, to rent the space and to have an office? And is it giving me more productivity to do so? And then second, when you have an employees asking about it, is there any flexibility in my hours? Whereas before, you know, most people would say, nope, you know, we need you in the office 9 to 5. They're engaging, you know, my advice is to engage in the conversation about what it is that the need is, and then evaluate whether or not you can meet that need.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk to you also about attracting 5-star candidates, because I think that this is what everyone wants, even entrepreneurs who have only a couple of people in their team. It is really important question always, how to attract the right person, how to also create the right environment for this person. So what do you think are the main qualities of such a person that we can call 5-star candidate, 5-star employee? What do we have to look for and how we can attract them?
So a 5-star employee is like first and foremost, someone who shares the same core values as the entrepreneur, as the business owner. So what's important to the business owner is those values need to align with what is important with the employees and the staff that you end up hiring. You know, if, for example, if something like attention to detail is very important in your organization, and very important, really more than your organization, if it's very important to you, so punctuality and attention to detail, then that needs to be important for every person that comes into your candidate pool, because that is going to make that person earn that first star in the 5-star rating system, is that you have to have these core values that align. And so a lot of times, you know, people struggle with understanding what their own core values are because they've never thought about it. They've never completed like a core values exercise. And so they go out and try to recruit, and without really understanding what you're looking for, you're not going to find that person. And so the first thing, you know, you need to do is look for that person whose core values align with yourselves. And that's kind of the first star. The second star is that you've got a candidate who is matches, gets the 11 qualities of a 5-star employee. So the 11 qualities are things like supportive, that they listen, that they're limber, that they're open to feedback. So we have 11 qualities of a 5-star employee. So all 5-star employees share universal qualities. The third is that they, you know, that a 5-star employee is somebody who not only possesses the skill set and aptitudes to do the job that you need them to do, but they are committing and actually capable of exceeding your expectations and meeting the success metrics that you need for the job. So for example, if you have someone who you're looking for in the sales, like a salesperson, so to remain profitable, say you need them to close 5-10 sales a week. So somebody who is a 5-star employee will close 10 sales a week. So not only do they have the skill set to do so, but they are meeting those success metrics that you have defined that clarify what success looks like in that role. And then finally, that, you know, they're contributing to you and your business, and they're giving you a 3x return on your payroll. So a 5-star employee is one who achieves all of these, you know, earns each of these stars, and they are out there. You just got to find them.
Yeah. So, but how to find them? This is the question. So what can we do to attract such people?
Yeah. I mean, so the first, you know, it's important to understand that, you know, it's a numbers game. So the 5-star employees are, I mean, they represent the top 15% of the applicant pool out there in the market at the given rate. So, you know, what you need to do is first you have to define and understand exactly what you're looking for. So you need to, you know your core values. You need to understand what the role you're looking for is, have these defined success metrics. And then you need a process. So you need an objective process and system that's going to help you evaluate the candidates that come in your sort of in your door, so to speak, and objectively assess these candidates for, you know, for their talent, for their and rate them. And then what you'll do is you'll select the candidates based on this objective rating system, and you'll follow your process. And, you know, you ask, well, how do I attract them? Well, like the first thing you need to have is you need to have a great job posting that is very specific and very detailed about what it is that you're looking for. So your job posting, for example, you know, should get the candidate the information that they need. So this is how much I'm paying. This is what the job title is. These are my success metrics. So putting it out there that I'm not just looking for a salesperson with experience. I'm looking for somebody who is going to close 20 new clients a week. So somebody who is an elite performer will see that number and maybe see that as a challenge and get excited and be like, yes, I can do this. Somebody who is kind of just average and a average kind of mediocre salesperson will look at that number and be like, nope, I can't do it. And now you've filtered out somebody who is not a 5-star employee, and you've attracted people who are excited about this challenge. You want to include, you know, on that job posting, what your application process is. And your application process should include something like some sort of skills test. So we can't just ask people, oh, well, you know, say you're looking for a photographer, you know, can you shoot, you know, three different settings, and do you adjust for light? Like, of course, everyone's going to say, yes, I can do that. You know, ask them to send you samples and evaluate those objectively and rate those. And now you've created, you know, you've added to this objective rating system process. And really, it's not just one job posting on LinkedIn, on Craigslist, on Indeed. You've got to cast that wide net, because if only 15% of the talent out there are 5-star employees, you need to capture as many applicants as you can. And then you need to weed out the people who don't share your core values, who are not qualified for the role. and then you'll zone in on the people who are, you know, potentially five-star candidates.
Yeah, and how do you recommend to filter those candidates? So what are the best questions to ask during interviews? I remember that there were, you know, standard questions like, where do you see yourself in 5 years and things like that. And, you know, everyone is prepared for those because there are standard answers for those standard questions. Do you recommend to go a little bit further and to try something more during the interview?
Yeah. So in our, you know, in our program, what we do is we work with business owners to understand like the different aptitudes necessary for each role. And then we build, you know, kind of interview questions based on sort of the industry, that organization, and the particular aptitude that's for that job. So that way, when you go to have these interviews, you have a sort of customized, ready-to-go packet for each role, because that's going to help you find someone who truly aligns with sort of your own core values and with somebody who meets the skills and aptitudes necessary for the role in your organization. I would say, you know, one thing everybody should be able to do is test. So any position that you're hiring for, if you're looking for an admin role, you know, issue a typing test, right? And see what that skill actually looks like. Because there's a big difference between, you know, what, you know, have someone saying that they can do something or that they have this skill, and then actually being able to do it. And so what you can do is, in your gauntlet here, the first step really should be to, you know, submit an application. And maybe, you know, you're asking somebody in the job posting, for example, to submit their resume and answer one question, right? Answer one question: what interests you most about working for this organization? And then if you receive a resume and that question was not answered, you know, either in the email or you didn't get that answer, period, you filtered out someone who either was not reading the instructions carefully, who didn't follow the direction, or who is just a serial interviewer who just applied to every single open position out there. So you've already filtered somebody out who you don't want in your organization. And then the second thing is, if you ask somebody to complete an assessment or a skills test of some sort, you'll be surprised at how many people just don't even complete that part. And again, someone who did complete that part, you've also filtered somebody out who was not a five-star candidate. So you need to build out your process and try not to spend your time interviewing every single person who comes in. So kind of build out filters and spend your time with the more of the 4 or 5 star candidates rather than the 1, 2, 3 star candidates.
Yes, definitely. This is what we want. We see that something is not filled in, or someone did not read the instruction carefully, then probably this person is not motivated enough to actually work in our organization. And so if we hire this candidate and everything goes great, so what can we do also to retain them? Why some of the great employees leave organizations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's another, you know, common, very trending kind of question right now is, you know, so many people are leaving their current jobs, and we want to know why. So we know that people who are unengaged at their workplace, those are the people who are leaving. And so, you know, to help with the retention numbers in your own organization, you've got to figure out, you know, one, like, what is it that your employees want, and how can you help them with their wants and their needs? And so, you know, start with something simple. Start with an engagement survey. You know, talk to them, ask them, what is it that they, if they're satisfied with their organization, if they like working with their managers, if they feel comfortable working working there, if they see themselves working with your organization in the next, 1 to 5 years. And, you know, once you start getting this information, then you need to take action and actually create a plan to address your results. And they could be good, they could be bad, but you've got to sort of face the truth and go forward from there. A lot of people too appreciate very like simple things. So, you know, what are you doing to build that community for your employees? So do you have things like, you know, retreats? Do you have like fun outings? Do you have a recognition program? Are you keeping your team, you know, kind of mentally stimulated? So are you training them? Are you educating them? Are you giving them the opportunity to better themselves, right? And the simple, you know, appreciation. So are you saying thank you? Are you acknowledging service? Are you acknowledging, you know, excellent customer feedback? Are you giving them what they really need, you know, from you, from like in the workplace?
Yeah, so we need to make them feel good.
That's so simple.
Yes, first ask them what makes them feel good, and then just do this and show appreciation. It is always important. In the book of Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is 100 years old, it was that show people sincere appreciation, one of the most important principles. And I think that it is always, always important. Even 100 years later, this is still one of the most important principles. So, Hina, thank you very much for all your answers. And I think that it was a very interesting conversation, especially for people who are looking for employees, who are hiring, want to hire someone. So to sum up our conversation, what would you recommend in a couple of sentences to people who are currently hiring, who are looking for new employees? What are the top tips from you?
Yeah. So first, you know, the first rule is never settle. So you should never settle for someone who is average, for somebody who is not going to do the work that you really need them to do. When you settle, you're just going to find yourself always recruiting, because they're never going to work out and you're going to find yourself recruiting all over again. Two, you really want to stick to a process. So you need to create an objective process that's going to help you find these kind of five-star candidates. And then you need to stick to that process. And just a bonus kind of tip here is, in the interview process, when you're interviewing a candidate, be comfortable with silence. So if you have a question that you need answered, I need you to ask the question and give the candidate an opportunity to respond. Don't try to hint at the answer. Don't rephrase the question. Just listen for the answer and be comfortable with the silence.
Great tips. Great tips. Yeah. Thank you very much, Hina, for all of your input. I think that it is very important for our listeners who are entrepreneurs, who are also in HR and hiring for corporations. So if our listeners want to reach out, want to contact you, where can they find you?
Sure. I mean, for your listeners, I'm definitely available, and I'd love to have a quick 15-minute consult with you. So feel free to email me at henal@theallincompany.com. We'll get that in the show notes for you. And you can check us out, 5staremployees.com. That's the number 5, 5staremployees.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much, Henal. It was such a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know that you listened by tagging me in your LinkedIn profile and using a hashtag Ideas and Leaders. See you in the next episode.